Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Excellent. You ready for our paper today?
Sure.
This one's gonna be tough.
Is it? Is there a lot of big words?
A lot of big words.
Lots of syllables.
Lots of syllables. We'll probably pronounce them wrong.
Great. It's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Do you put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable?
Yes. Me probably.
Too. I mean, listen. It's the best you can do. Well, let's dive in, shall we? We've got a couple of definitions, and by a couple, I mean three, which is technically a few, but roll with me on this. First one is oxidative stress, which is a disturbance in the balance between the production of reactive oxygen species, or free radicals, and antioxidant defenses. It's discussed in relation to its possible role in the production of tissue damage. I had a minor car accident yesterday. I have some minor tissue damage in my back. It hurts. Hello. I'm raising my hand. Welcome to the party. The next one. MDA plasma malondialdehyde. Malondialdehyde. You try.
Malondialdehyde.
Dialdehyde. Malondialdehyde. I like that one better. So MDA plasma malondialdehyde is an indicator for lipid peroxidation that causes stress in cells. The last one, guys, is GSH, which is total glutathione, is an antioxidant. It is important for prevention of cellular damage. So I should have been taking that before yesterday.
Definitely.
It hurts, y'all. I'm telling you. I did everything you're not supposed to do. I tensed. I raised my hands up. We're all fine. Everything's fine. So no worries. But it hurts. I'm uncomfortable today. My neck and my upper back is very sore.
We'll get through it.
We will.
This is for you. Okay, we ready to get into the paper?
Let's do it.
Okay. Again, I'm going to try my best to pronounce these names correctly. We have Pressertry and Boonla. This paper was published in 2021. The title of the paper is Upper and Lower Limb Resistance Training Program versus High Intensity Interval Training on Oxidative Stress Markers in University Athletes.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was published in the Journal of Exercise Rehabilitation.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah.
I can definitely say I do high intensity interval training. It is not my favorite. I like that I can make it shorter. So I would rather do 20 minutes of high intensity interval training than an hour of steady state any day. Because then by the time I'm like mad that I'm doing it, it's over.
Yeah.
Especially if there's burpees. Whoever invented the burpee, I hate you. I mean, that's harsh. I don't hate you. I'm just very displeased with your choice.
Many people agree with that statement.
It sucks. I definitely prefer the upper and lower limb resistance training.
I agree. So the purpose of this study is to test the oxidative stress, antioxidant markers, and performance changes after resistance training or high-intensity interval training in the upper and lower body.
My fingers are crossed. I'm pulling for the resistance training group.
We'll have to see what happens.
Ugh, it's so stressful. It's a mystery.
Not for long.
All right, well, let's talk about how they did it. So the participants were screened in by being non-smokers. They don't smoke, they don't drink, and were free from medication and supplement use. They were so very, very clean, healthy, generally individuals. They were broken up into three groups, the control group, the resistance training group, and the high intensity interval training group. The control group was asked to continue their normal dietary and physical activity behaviors for 8 weeks. I'd have been totally fine in that group. I'm on it. The resistance training group performed upper and lower body exercises 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week for 8 weeks. That's it? Mm-hmm. Shoot, I'm like in the 5 to 6 days a week group. I could have totally done that too. Put me in that group.
Do it.
The program consisted of performing 30% one rep max for 15 reps. Then 70% of their one rep max for 8 reps. Then another set of 30 for 15. And then they were done. The HIIT group performed 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week on a cycle ergometer. Intervals of 30%. Okay, you're going to have to explain this one.
30% for 1 minute and 70% for 1 minute.
Oh. Oh, so 30% of your max intensity, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So, very similar to the resistance group, except instead of it being a one rep max, it was your 1 minute max pace. The VO2 max for 20, or it's, I'm sorry, of their VO2 max
yes.
for 24 minutes. So, the VO2 max was determined by the YMCA cycle test. Body composition was also measured with a standing in-body BIA. What's that?
Bioelectrical impedance.
Oh, my scale does that.
Yeah, exactly. That's just the in-body, just a little bit more accurate than your home scale would be.
Fair enough. Blood samples were taken to measure plasma, malondialdehyde, whole blood, total glutathione, and oh God, where's my dad? He could totally pronounce all of these correctly for us.
That's true. Guest our dad.
Dad, we need you for Dad's pronunciation help minute. 1 minute where Dad helps you pronounce all the words you don't know how to pronounce.
Yes.
Anywho, whole blood, total glutathione, and glutathione disulfide. Physical performance was measured with the sit and reach test for flexibility. I cannot reach very far. I will just let you know right now. I can almost reach my feet most of the time.
It's those long legs.
So they sat and reached. Their hand held. Physical performance was measured with the sit and reach test for flexibility. A handheld dynamometer for lower body strength. The YMCA bench press test for upper body, and that's all she wrote. So that was a lot to digest. Essentially, three groups. One group was told, just do what you've been doing and write it down and you're mm-hmm. fine. It's whatever. The upper body and lower body resistance training group did 30 minutes a day, 3 times a week for 8 weeks, and they did two different sets of as a percentage of their one rep max. And then the HIIT group did something similar, but it was their VO2 max, a percentage of their VO2 max that they did in intervals also for 8 weeks. So time frame was 8 weeks, control group, resistance group, HIIT group. Now we go to my sister, Olivia. Tell us about the results, Olivia.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, we've got 72 university athletes from Thailand who were both male and female.
Yay!
Yeah!
The ladies get to play.
For once,
finally.
Right? With the age range of 18 to 30 years old, the biomarker for oxidative stress, plasma MDA, had a significant reduction from pre to post in the resistance training group. The biomarker used for antioxidants, the GSH, which significantly increased in all three groups. if we remember what those are. No?
I mean, I've said them. Let's review. I've said them a few times, just recapping for myself.
Plasma MDA is an indicator for lipid peroxidation that causes stress in the cells.
Mm-hmm.
GSH is a antioxidant that is important for the prevention of cellular damage. So we want that to go up. A biomarker for oxidative stress, plasma MDA had a significant reduction from pre to post in the resistance training group. So the plasma MDA is our indicator for peroxidation for causes and stress in the cells. For that to go down is a good thing.
Cool.
And the biomarker used for antioxidants, GSH, which is significantly increased in all three groups, which is a good thing as well. When comparing the post 8-week results between groups, there was no significant difference between the groups.
Boo.
I know, bummer. Showing the both interventions increase antioxidant levels in athletes, and then leg strength, flexibility, chest press repetitions significantly increased from pre to post in both resistance training and the HIIT training group.
Well, I mean, I'm not mad that they included that. It does confirm things we already knew.
Yes.
But we notice. We notice already. If you do the thing, you improve over time.
Yes. And according to this study, there's really HIIT and resistance training both have protective factors and they both show improvements in your performance. So
it sounds like you should still do a mix of both.
Mm-hmm.
You do resistance training for your muscular health, your skeletal health, your tendons, flexibility, all of that. And you do your HIIT for your cardio and your heart health and stress reduction, better sleep on both counts. You just kind of overall tend to have fewer aches and pains unless you've injured yourself or you've got some DOMS. That's a little different, but
yeah.
I think that's my takeaway, is just do a little bit of both.
Well, and what's good about these...
And I like that it doesn't tell me I have to do burpees.
Yes.
I don't dislike HIIT entirely, like I said before. I really like it. There was a HIIT kickboxing program that I did. It was really fun. It was not super dancey, where I had to be coordinated to do it or anything like that. It was easy to pick up. And I mean, I definitely burned, like, according to my Fit Whatever watch that I had on at the time, my wearable, if you remember from episode 2,
mm-hmm.
Or 3 or whichever one it was.
We don't even know anymore.
It said that I was burning like easily 300 calories in anywhere from 20 to 45 minutes, depending on which one I was doing. So, yeah, it's good. What's your feeling? Would you say that it's safe enough to just do one over the other, or do you agree with you should mix and match it?
Just based on the knowledge I have on both, I would say you should probably do combination of them. But it's not a bad thing to choose one or the other either, it looks like. Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I kind of want to try their HIIT workout, the 70% and 30%, 1 minute, 1 minute. It would be fun to do. I'm always looking for new intervals and stuff to try.
I'd like to measure my VO2 max sometime. I know that kind of based on just my heart rate when I was bike riding with my fiance, like his heart rate easily gets up into the 170s before he's really, really huffing and puffing and having a hard time. For me, it's in the 140s. Like, I really start breathing heavy and having a hard time. Like, I'm okay. I can continue in the 140s. It's the 150s, 160s where I'm really starting to struggle. I can't even imagine getting into the 170s. I also haven't ridden a road bike every year, every summer, since I was a teenager, like he has either. But I mean, you would think all of my HIIT HIIT training and cardio stuff that I've done would have at least somewhat prepared me for it.
It probably did, but
but I know that for sure. When I'm in the 140s is when I'm like, okay, yeah, this is, I can kind of talk, kind of not really, but I'm not going to die. I'm just really out of breath right now. And then past 140s, I'm like flipping people off because I can't say any words. Or I can, I just don't want to.
Yeah. For me, I can easily get up into the 180s and be like,
holy mackerel.
Hey, what's up, guys? And breathing really heavy and all sweaty, but I can still talk. That's probably all my running history.
That's true.
I have a very high lactate threshold.
Oh, maybe I have a very low one.
I would say you probably have a normal one.
Oh. Fine, just make me be normal then. Ugh. Whatever. I'm not special. But anyway, maybe that's also why high intensity interval training has worked out so well for me, because it goes so quick.
Yeah.
I don't get bored as easily, because it's like why I like roller coasters. By the time you are scared of the thing that just happened,
it's over.
You're already into a different thing. Mm-hmm. The loop is done. Now you're heading up towards the thing. And by the time I'm scared of going down the downhill, you're in another loop. So it's great fun.
It is.
I can't wait till you and I can go on another roller coaster adventure.
That would be so fun. We still need to go to Cedar Point.
We do. Definitely.
Goals.
Well, that's it for us today, kids. We hope you had as much fun as we did.
Hopefully you learned something.
Learned something and can pass this on to your clients or patients or your own at-home stuff. Keep on working out and doing all your things, and we'll see you next time. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Laters.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.